listen to it live. Al Qudsi recording, the voice and vision of Islamic movement. Worldwide Islamic resistance, resurgence, and revolution. الحمد لله العلي القدير أحمده سبحانه وتعالى وأستعين به وأتوب إليه وأستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله السميع البصير يعز من يشاء ويذل من يشاء وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله خاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين وقائد المجاهدين وإمام الغر المحجلين بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله يا من بك فتحت آذانا صما وأعينا عميا وقلوبا غلفا أما بعد Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today inshallah I will address a crucial topic, a topic that is so vital yet have been forgotten by many Muslims, their scholars and leaders alike. The topic of today is the importance of studying past history and the lessons that should be learned from it. Today's lecture is based on a great lecture delivered by Sheikh Nasir al-Amr. I will take the liberty to expand on the issues mentioned by Nasir al-Amr. The fall of Spain, formerly known as Andalus, will be used to illustrate the striking similarities between the conditions that existed some 500 years ago, which led to the fast disintegration of Islam in Spain, and the conditions that exist now in all Islamic countries. The current conditions could lead to the total destruction and the total eradication of Muslims around the world, unless something is done, and is done now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alerts us to the importance of studying past history to find out what happened to people of the past. Listen to what Allah says. Surah Yusuf, Surah 12, verse 109. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do they not travel through the earth and see what was the end of those before them? But the home of the hereafter is best for those who do right. Will you not understand? Listen to Allah in Surah Al-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 36. فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ So travel through earth and see what was the end of those who denied the truth. Listen to Surah Muhammad. Listen to Allah in Surah Muhammad. Surah 47, verse 10. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ دمر الله عليهم وللكافرين أمثالها Don't they travel through the earth and see what was the end of those before them who did evil? Allah brought destruction on them and similar fates await those who reject Allah. You see now, Allah has also made us aware of a standard practice of His in order for us to make accurate predictions or of the final outcome of certain states of affairs and to foresee what's coming. Listen to Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Listen to Allah in Surah Al-Fajr, Surah 48, verse 22. Sunnat Allah allati qad khalat min qabl ولن تجد لسنة الله تبديلا. Such has been the practice of Allah. Such has been the practice of Allah. Already in the past, you will not find any change in the practice of Allah. This disaster of Andalus repeats itself in the Muslim world, day in and day out. Muslims have witnessed what happened to their brothers in Palestine. Muslims all over the world are watching the great conspiracy against Muslims in Afghanistan, Eritrea, Philippines, Bosnia, Lebanon, Kashmir, Somalia, to name a few. Millions of Muslims are living in a state of hibernation, total ignorance, and more seriously, they have abandoned their basic duties. They have abandoned some of their most basic duties, such as jihad and enjoining the right and forbidding the evil. Islam enters Spain by Tariq ibn Ziyad and Musa ibn Nusayr. Islam has remained in Spain for 8 centuries, 800 years of strong Islam in Spain. It is sad to say that if you visit Spain, you will see little, if any, signs of Islam or Islamic heritage. Isn't that strange that centuries or that countries like Britain, France, Italy, and the US each have more Muslims and more mosques, far more than Spain has? Did you ever wonder why? Why Islam was uprooted and completely destroyed after flourishing for 800 years in Spain? Andalus was known previously. Andalus is Spain now. It is reasonable to expect the downfall of any system as a result of weak leadership or careless individuals. However, it is surprising to see a system that has been in place for 800 strong years being completely destroyed beyond recognition. There had to be reasons, there had to be causes. Spain was handed over to the Christian king according to an agreement. This agreement was drawn by the king of Christians and the king of Granada, the Muslim leader. This agreement contains 67 articles. All of them are in favor of Muslims and assuring their safety, security, freedom to practice religion, etc. Only 7 years later, 7 short years, Christian Kafir violated the agreement and totally trashed that agreement, despite the fact that the agreement was signed by all Christian kings and was ratified and approved by the Pope of the Christians. But as you see now, the first lesson from the fall of Andalus, the Christians from the Pope all the way down to the lowest individual on the face of the earth are filthy kafir and should not be trusted. This is the first lesson, friends, brothers and sisters. Christians began a relentless process to dismantle Islam and eradicate all Muslims. Their purpose was one simple purpose, is to wipe out all Muslims at any cost. Courts were set up to try and convict Muslims. Investigative and secret forces followed Muslims everywhere. Muslims were arrested by the thousands and were subjected to the most cruel and vicious torture in history at the hands of the Christians. Even when Muslims attempted to keep a low profile, they were not saved because they were carefully watched by the bloodthirsty Christians. And if the Christians saw a man taking a bath on a Friday, He was presumed to be a Muslim and they killed him. If the Christians observe a man wearing nice, neat clothes on the day of Eid, which is a Muslim holiday, he was presumed to be a Muslim and he was taken and killed. There, the Muslims' lives were ended every turn of the clock. Muslims were taken and their limbs were cut one by one. And finally, after unbelievable degree of torture, they were killed. All the mosques in Spain were converted to churches. For 300 years, Christians continued their crusade against Muslims, their wives, children, and properties. For 300 years, Christians relentlessly pursued Muslims everywhere until millions of Muslims were totally wiped out from the face of Spain. Within 300 years, Christians have slaughtered millions of Muslims, men, women, and children. Many Muslims saw no way out, so they openly denounced Islam and embraced Christianity and raised their children as Christians while hiding their Islam in their heart, thinking that they will be saved. They were wrong. They were dead wrong, because the bloodthirsty Christians were following them everywhere. They underestimated the viciousness of the Christian kafir and their hate for Islam. Christians were watching Muslims very closely, to the extent that they undressed all males, and if the male was found to be circumcised, he was presumed to be Muslim and was killed immediately, along with his wife and children. No wonder if you go to Spain now, you will not see any sign telling you that Islam dominated that country for 800 long years. History repeats itself. What happens to Muslims in Spain some 500 years ago is happening to Muslims in other parts of the world right now as I speak, and could happen to you any time. Are you going to wait, brothers in Islam? Are you going to wait until a filthy kafir come to you to check your genitals out? Are you going to wait until you are killed like a dog? Isn't it time for you to wake up? Isn't it time for you to rise and perform your duty and go for jihad to restore the Islamic izzah and dignity? The Andalus disaster did not take place overnight. However, what took place according to the Allah standard practice that will never change, and that was referred to earlier, and it should have been predicted. Let us now go into the causes of the fall of Andalus. Let's first set some facts straight. Islam entered Spain in the year 93 Hijra. Within 3 years only, Islam became very strong and continued to get stronger and stronger. Islamic government was implemented. Sharia was implemented. Khalifa system was installed. Governors were appointed. Everything was done according to Islamic Sharia. That's why Islam was very strong in Spain. When on the year 420 Hijra, divisions and disagreement became way of life. Factions and splinter groups appear on the scene. This was the beginning of the end of Islam in Spain. Division and factions, and every group was out for itself. The main duty of Islam was forgotten. The last act before the fall was the introduction of kingship instead of the caliphate system. The kingdom of Granada was created and lasted only a short period until Andalus, Spain, was handed over by the king of Granada, Ibn al-Ahmar, to the Christians in the year 897 Hijrah. The first cause for the fall is weakening of the Aqidah and drifting away from Sharia. This is the first cause, and it actually has implication of every other cause that led to the fall of Spain. This cause, weakening of Aqidah and drifting away from Sharia, led immediately to the second cause for the fall of Andalus, and that is the alliance with the Christians, loving them, complimenting them, and giving in to many Christians' traditions and way of life. Muslims have completely reversed their wala wal bara. The crucial word here is al-wala wal bara, love and hate for Allah and only for Allah. Love and hate for Allah is so crucial that it is one of the seven conditions of Shahada. In other words, your Shahada is not complete and therefore may very well be nullified if you love and hate is not, if your love and hate is not for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear to us in the Holy Quran as to who are the enemies and who are the brothers and sisters in Islam. Christians and Jews were clearly identified for us as enemies of Allah and enemies of us. Listen to Allah in Surah Al-Mumtahina, Surah 60, verse 1, the first ayah in Surah Al-Mumtahina. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. O you who believe, take not my enemies and yours as friends or protectors, offering them your love, even though they have rejected the truth that has come to you. It's clear evidence, brothers and sisters, that the Christians and Jews are enemies of Allah and enemies of us, and we should not, at no circumstances, we should take him for friends or protectors. Listen to Allah again in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 51. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخُذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. O you who believe, take not the Jews and the Christians for your friends and protectors. They are but friends and protectors of each other, and he amongst you that turns to them for friendship is one of them. Verily, Allah does not guide the unjust people. This ayah is extremely important because when Allah says, if anyone turns to them, becomes one of them, and we know that Christians and Jews are kafir, therefore, any Muslim who takes a Christian or a Jew for a friend or a protector has apostated from Islam and therefore became a kafir, even though he has a Muslim name. This has happened in Spain, and it is happening now. This ayah also is a good evidence that if you reverse your wala wal bara, if you reverse your love and hate for Allah, and you make it love and hate for other than Allah, you will nullify your shahada. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه ممن سواهما. None of you will have iman unless his love for Allah and his messenger, peace be upon him, exceeds his love for anyone or anything else. Here you have the ayat and you have the hadith, tells you clearly where your wala wal bara should be. Listen to Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 120. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. Never will the Jews or the Christians be satisfied with you unless you follow their form of religion. Say, the guidance of Allah, that is the only guidance. Were you to follow their desires, after the knowledge which has reached you, then you would not find a protector nor helper against Allah. Very serious ayah. This ayah clearly shows that if a Muslim think that by taking a Christian or a Jew as a friend or a protector, he will be safe or have a real peace, he will be mistaken if he thinks so. Because a Christian or a Jew will not rest until you follow their way of life. And if you are not convinced, listen to Allah again in Surah Al-Baqarah again. Surah 2, verse 217. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنْ اسْتَطَاعُوا وَمَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will not cease fighting you until they turn you back from your faith, if they can. And if any of you turn back from their faith and die in unbelief, their work will bear no fruit in this life and in the hereafter. They will be companions of the fire and will abide therein forever. In a great display of al-wala wal-bara, love and hate for Allah, brothers and sisters, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu killed his own uncle in the Battle of Badr. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an swore he would have killed his own son had he come face to face with him on the battlefield. Mus'ab ibn Umair tied his own brother real good, and he told his guards, because his brother was taken as a prisoner in the Battle of Badr, he personally tied his brother real good and told his Muslim guards, don't let go of him. My mother is a rich woman and she can pay very handsome ransom for him. His brother was stunned to hear that, and he said to Mus'ab, you are my brother. how come you're saying that? I can't believe you're saying that. He said, no, you got it all wrong. These guys, and he pointed out to the Muslims, these guys are my brothers. You are not, because you are a kafir. Many Muslims, let's now examine the history of leaders of Andalus to see where they stood with regard to al-wala wal-bara, love and hate for Allah. Many leaders became very close to their Christian counterparts. Muslim leaders followed the footsteps of their Christian counterparts and made many concessions to them at the expense of Muslims. For example, a sad example indeed, a man named Abu Zayd, he was a governor of Phoenicia, was so bad a leader that the Muslims in his governorate rose up and tried to remove him from power. Abu Zayd went to the Christian king and signed an agreement. In this agreement, Abu Zayd agreed to the following. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. Listen and feel free to cry for Islam that has vanished in Spain because of the leadership. Because of what the leadership did back then, and inshallah, I will show you that the present leadership is doing exactly the same, but even more. Number one, Abu Zayd gave the Christian king part of the Muslim territory. Number two, and imagine, I know you may say that can't be true, but it is true. Muslim leader Abu Zayd agreed to pay jizya to the king. Can you imagine the Muslim leader who used to collect the jizya from the kafir now is paying jizya to the kafir? He is giving it instead of receiving it. Number three, he himself, Abu Zayd, became a Christian and participated with Christians in battles against Muslims. Sad one indeed. And when you see this, you can see that when Allah says that He has a practice that will never change, and Allah wanted us to watch for causes that will tell us the outcome without having to wait. Another example, Ibn al-Ahmar, the king of Granada, signed an agreement with the king of Qishtala, another part of Spain. According to this agreement, Ibn al-Ahmar will govern under the direct rule and supervision of the Christian king, the kafir king. Number two, that was number one. Number two, Ibn al-Ahmar once again will pay jizya to the Christian king. Number three, Ibn al-Ahmar will cooperate and help the Christian king against his enemies, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, and will provide him with unspecified number of soldiers to fight with the Christians against Muslims. Number four, Ibn al-Ahmar will attend the Christian governing body regular meetings all the time. Now, brothers and sisters, you see from just these two examples how pathetic the Muslims' leaders were and how their al-wala wal-bara, love and hate for Allah, was completely reversed, and their love and hate was for the Christian kafirs. Ibn al-Ahmar handed over several key Muslim territory to the Christian king to prove his loyalty. He wanted to show good intentions. He wanted to please the kafir, and his way of pleasing the kafir and his way of showing in good intentions was to give up some territories. Does that remind you with any current leader? Yes, a clown called Yasser Arafat. When the Christian king, the kafir, surrounded the Muslim town of Ashbilia, Ibn al-Ahmar sent a division of his best army to help the kafir secure his victory over the Muslims. Isn't that pathetic? Isn't it sad? But the most important thing is, if a leader is behaving that way, where are the Muslims? Where are you and I, brothers and sisters? This dunya is not worth anything. Another time, one more time, once more, I am saying to you, isn't it time to wake up and look around you? Isn't it time to see what's happening around you? Isn't it time to realize that you are captives, of all of you are captives of the Christians and Jews, of all these kafirs? They have no goal but to wipe you out completely. Another yet sad example. When the king of Kishtala surrounded Gibraltar, Jabal Tariq, trying to take it over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a disease that wiped out a lot of the kafir Christians, and they had to go back. They were weakened, they lost a lot of their leaders, including the king, and they had to go back. On their way back, they had to go through Gharnata, which was controlled by Muslims, by Ibn al-Ahmar. And you may think, now here is a Christian army went to take over a Muslim territory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented that from happening. They were coming back weak and tired and going through a strong military post belonged to the Muslims. You would think the Muslims will punish these guys. But no, if you think so, you are wrong again. Because Ibn al-Ahmar, who was the king of Gharnata, gave them a safe passage instead of fighting them, because they were trying to take a Muslim territory. Not only that, but many Muslims in Gharnata were many Muslims in Gharnata showed sympathy to the kafir by wearing black garments. It was a tradition to signify sadness over dead people. Can you believe this? Can you imagine the day that Muslims will wear black clothes because they have sympathy for the dead kafir, the Christians? How sad that was. To see for yourself, Muslim brothers and sisters, how the Muslim leaders
some 500 years ago reverse their al-wala wal-bara, love and hate for Allah, and their action, meaning reversing their al-wala wal-bara, brought disaster to Islam and resulted in the wiping out of millions of Muslims. Now, we should ask ourselves a question. Are current Muslim leaders doing anything similar to the past leaders of Spain? Sadly enough, the answer is yes. Yes, I say, sadly enough, the answer is yes. To start off, you are probably aware of the fact that only one Islamic government is implementing Sharia at this point. So the leaders of all other Islamic governments have apostated from Islam. These leaders are not implementing Sharia, and they have therefore apostated from Islam. Why would we say they have apostated from Islam? These leaders apparently have rejected part of the Quran. And if they have rejected part of the Quran, they have essentially rejected the entire Quran. And if they have rejected the entire Quran, they became like Jews, and therefore they are kafir. What part of the Quran that the Muslim leaders have rejected except one government, the Afghani government? Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 44. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Those who do not govern with the Sharia, with what Allah sent down to us, Allah's laws, those are kafir. The same surah, 5, verse 45. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Those are unjust who govern by man-made law other than Allah's law. Verse 47, same surah, Ma'idah 5:47. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Those who use man-made law to govern instead of the law of Allah, those are the ones who are apostating and who are kafir. And in the same surah, 5 verse 50, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. Do they want to resort to a judgment of the days of ignorance? But who for people whose faith is assured can give better judgment than Allah? One more time, this ayah is extremely important. Do they want to resort to a judgment of the days of ignorance? But who for people whose faith is assured can give better judgment than Allah? Allah made it very clear that His law is the law that should be used to govern on earth. When those leaders elect to choose some other laws, even if they implement part of the Sharia and they leave off some, they have indeed apostated from Islam and become kafir. Now, take a look at some of the acts that were committed by some of them. King Fahd, for instance, allowed half a million U.S. troops on the Holy Land. In doing so, King Fahd has clearly rejected the part of Quran addressing al-Wala wal-Bara, as I referred to earlier. King Fahd also has rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith saying, "No two religions should exist in the Arabian Peninsula." King Fahd has apostated, and therefore he is a kafir. Take another leader, President of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak. Align himself with the West, with the U.S. in particular, supports the U.N. against Iraq, relies on and supports the U.N., which is controlled by kafir. Hosni Mubarak kills and tortures Muslims Hosni Mubarak kills and tortures Muslim brothers every single day for no reason other than those Muslim brothers demand the implementation of Sharia. Mubarak security forces raid Muslim homes all the time, raping women in presence of their husbands and or fathers and brothers. His security forces chase down, now listen to this, can you believe this, people or Muslims with beard. They are chased down everywhere in Egypt because they are presumed to be terrorists. Can you imagine? The day had come when a bearded Muslim is labeled as a terrorist. Hosni Mubarak is proud of saying that he is the head of the National Democratic Party, so Egypt is ruled by the National Democratic Party right there. Even before you go any further, you can simply say that Hosni Mubarak is a kafir. He is apostated from Islam because he adopted democracy as a way of government instead of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it doesn't take a genius to realize that since democracy stands for governing people, by the people, for the people, it doesn't take a genius to say democracy is governing people by people, not by Allah. So when an Islamic country governs the people, the Muslim people, by any system other than Allah, the leaders have apostated and they are kafir and they should be toppled down by any means. Take President Assad of Syria. President Assad and his Baath faction, or his Baath party. This Baath party is total kufr. He chased down anybody who belongs to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those Muslims who abide by the Holy Quran and Sunnah. So he too has apostated. Same goes for Saddam Hussein, another Baath leader. Same goes for King Hussein, who has just recently died, kingship is not part of Islam. All these Muslim leaders align themselves with the kafir, align themselves with the Christians and Jews at the expense of Muslim brothers. Can you imagine when millions of Muslims are starving, when millions of Muslims in places of the world are being tortured, are being killed, are being raped, are being thrown out of their home, especially in Bosnia, millions of them. And we have head of states and emirs and ministers. They spend their money in gambling. They spend their money on prostitution. They spend their money giving it away to Nicaragua or any other system that U.S. suggests to give money to, instead of spending it on the Muslims, instead of... والله ذو الفضل العظيم العظيم. It is never the wish of those without faith among the people of the book, nor of the pagans, that anything good should come down to you from your Lord. But Allah will choose for His special mercy whom He will, for Allah is Lord of grace abounding. All of you leaders should look seriously into this ayat. My advice to you, and probably all the Muslims will advise you, to repent and go back to the Sharia. All of you leaders, death is inevitable. You will not live forever. When death comes, your soul will be snatched away from you. Your own assistance, your sophisticated army, your security forces will not do you any good. You would be all alone. And when you go into that grave, all your deeds will be shown to you in the grave, and your place in hellfire, your grave actually, will become a part of your place in the hellfire. Are you prepared for that day? If you're not, repent, and repent now. All of you Muslim leaders, Allah is talking to you. You may wonder, or you may have forgotten. Yes, indeed, Allah is talking to you in Surah An-Nisa 4, Surah 4, verse 60. Because some of you say, we're Muslims, we pray, we believe in Allah, we don't believe in anything other than Allah. Hear what Allah is saying to you. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وقد أمروا أن يكفروا به ويريد الشيطان أن يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا. Have you not seen those who declare that they believe in the revelations that have come to you and to those before you, The real wish is to resort together for judgment in their disputes to the evil Tagut, though they were ordered to reject him, meaning rejecting the Tagut, any system that is far away from the system of Allah. But Satan, which is his main purpose, is to lead them astray. Now, all of you leaders, if you are saying you're Muslims, then you have to reject the Tagut system. You have to reject the man-made system. And you have to resort to Sharia and the only law, because it was given by the only law giver. Ala lillahi al-hukm wal-amr. Alaysa Allahu bi ahkam al-hakimin. Allah is the best lawgiver. All of you Muslim leaders, think again and ask yourself this question: why, whenever a scholar or anybody speaks up and speaks the truth, you either kill him or lock him up to silence him? What wrong have they done? Why you put them in jail? Why you kill them? Why you turn their wives into widows? Why you turn their children into orphans? What makes you think that you will not be asked about that? What makes you think that you will get away with it? Think again and make it part of your repentance. Get these people out. They're not evil. They are Muslims. They have great jealousy for their deen. All they want is implementing Sharia. All they want is to restore the Islamic izzah and Islamic dignity. Repent, and repent now. Now, back to the Andalus leaders. Another reason why what happened in Andalus, Spain. Muslims set aside their deen and became preoccupied with their own desires. They were busy constructing buildings, busy working in ranches, busy doing trades and making money, busy following the shaitan, following their evil desire, money, sex, wine, everything that has to do with dunya and nothing that has to do with the judgment day. A Christian historian put it very eloquently. He said, when Muslims abandoned their main message, they fell below the lowest level. And that is very true. When the Muslims abandoned their main message, when they abandoned al-wala wal-bara, when they abandoned jihad, when they abandoned sharia, they became disgraced and they were humiliated by their enemy, by the kafir, and history repeats itself. The story about Ibn Hud, one of the leaders, is sad one and is well-known one. Ibn Hud, he was one of the Muslim kings, and one of his ministers, both were competing for a girl. Can you believe that? They were not competing for who would know the best interpretation of an ayah, or who would wake up in the middle of the night and pray more than the other, or anything that will please Allah and will elevate them in the eyes of Allah. But they were competing for not just a girl, but for a Christian girl that was so beautiful that she got them both going crazy over her. Hud ibn Hud ended up losing his life. He was killed by his minister because his minister could not see or could not stand that Ibn Hud might snatch that girl from him. All that was happening, all the singing, all the dancing, all the sex life, all the buildings, all the fancy things. The Muslim women became obsessed with fancy jewelry and fancy clothes, and they took off their hijab. All this was happening. All this corruption was taking place while the enemy is working very hard to take over every Muslim city and every Muslim neighborhood, and they did. Islam has entered Spain when Tariq ibn Ziyad, during his crossing of the ocean, and his soldiers were chanting Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Islam remained in Spain and remained strong when Abdurrahman al-Dakhil kept it that way. Abdurrahman al-Dakhil was offered wine by some people. They were trying to test him out. He was offered wine, and his response was, I need something to increase my mental capacity, not something to lower it. Then the people who offered him the wine realized that the man is serious, the man is for real. Then they resort to the old trick, the oldest trick ever, sex. They offered him a very beautiful girl. And listen to what Abdurrahman al-Dakhil say. He said, this girl is so beautiful, and certainly the heart and the eyes will be attached to her. If I get busy performing my duties for the Muslim and I ignore her, I will be doing her a disservice. However, if I get busy with her because she is beautiful, I will be doing my Muslims a disservice, and I cannot afford that. So please take your girl and leave. That is how we kept Andalus. That's how Islam remained in Spain. Now look how Islam disintegrated in Spain. Islam disintegrated when they were singing, and instead of chanting Allahu Akbar, they were singing أوزن العود وهات القدح راحت الخمر والورد صحا, meaning prepare the music instrument and bring the glasses and drink the wine and smell the fresh flower. Look at the difference between a man who's chanting Allahu Akbar and a man who says, I can't afford to get busy with a beautiful woman and not perform my duties for the Muslims. And the Muslims who say later, bring me the wine and bring me the instrument to sing, and bring me the singers, and let's go smell the fresh flowers. What a pathetic state to be. So no wonder they lost Spain. The other reason for losing Spain is when the caliphate system, there was no Khalifa, when the caliphate system was abandoned, when division and disagreement took place between leaders and followers. When this happened, they apparently forgot what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 103. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. All fast, all together, by the rope which Allah stretches out for you, and be not divided among yourselves. Hold fast all together by the rope which Allah stretches out for you, and be not divided amongst yourselves. This ayah is extremely important, because we've seen it all over, we've seen it many times in history. Whenever Muslims are divided, they lose everything. And Spain was lost because they got divided and they abandoned the Sharia and they abandoned the caliphate system, and they did away with the Khalifa and they installed kingship. Kingship. Kingship has no place in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naml, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلَهَا أَذِلَّةً وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. Kings, when they enter a place, they corrupt it and they make the dignified people and the noble people, they make them, or they humiliate them and disgrace them. Ibn Hazm said this about the leaders of Andalus. He said, I swear by Allah, if they, meaning the leaders of Andalus, felt that worshipping the cross will help them conducting their business better, they would indeed have gone for it. Imagine, Ibn Hazm was a scholar at that time, and he was disgusted. He was sick of the behavior of the leaders of Andalus, and he was saying, if they see, or if they saw, worshipping the cross will help them out, they would have done that. So they have completely apostated from Islam. The next cause for the fall of Andalus was the Muslim scholars at that time. And watch and listen carefully, brothers and sisters, because what the scholars were doing at that time is no different, in fact is even less than what the scholars nowadays are doing to the Muslim Ummah. The scholars abandoned their duty. They were too busy with personal affairs, to the extent that Muslim cities and neighborhoods and big regions were falling constantly to the Christians, to the Christian kafir. And the scholar would not say one word about this in the mosque. Imagine, entire cities are falling, thousands and hundreds of thousands of Muslims are killed, thousands of women are raped, and when the scholars go to the mosque for the Jummah khutbah, they talk about other things and they do not mention one word about the falling cities. They have completely abandoned their duties. The scholars got tangled up in minor issues and left major ones. Scholars no longer talked about jihad. Scholars no longer talked about al-wala wal-bara, just like it is today. That was repeated shortly after that. We are all aware of the time when the French invaded Syria. Now, you may not believe this, but it is true. When the French invaded Syria, the scholars, instead of talking about the issue of the French occupation and how to deal with it, they were busy debating whether or not a man belongs to the Shafi'i madhab could marry a woman belongs to the Hanafi madhab. Can you believe this? The whole country is under the siege and occupation of the Kafir French, and the major scholars of the country were trying to decide on an issue: can a Shafi'i man marry a Hanafi woman? Scholars in Muslim countries these days, they have abandoned their duties, the majority of them. In one Arab country, while citizens were being tortured and killed, some of them, those who were asking for the return of Sharia, they were killed and tortured, and their families were harassed by the apostated leader, and the scholars were debating another minor issue. That minor issue is this: if the woman grows hair on her face, should she shave it or not? What a shame on you, scholars. What a shame on you. I say this to you: death is near, and you too will face death. What are you going to say to Allah when He asks you about the knowledge you have and you have concealed it from the Ummah? You have concealed the knowledge from the Ummah, from the Muslims. Listen to what Allah says: وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِنْ تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكْهُ يَلْهَثْ ذلك مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآياتنا فاقصص القصص لعلهم يتفكرون. Relate to them the story of the man to whom we sent over signs, but he passed by. So Satan followed him up, and he went astray. Listen to what Allah says. All you scholars now, listen to what Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 159. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون. Those who conceal the clear signs we have sent down and the guidance after we have made it clear for the people in the book, on them shall be Allah, on them shall be Allah's curse, and the curse of those entitled to curse. Listen to Allah again in Surah Al-Baqarah 2, verse 174. That's Surah 2, verse 174. إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزل الله من الكتاب ويشترون به ثمنا قليلا أولئك ما يأكلون في بطونهم إلا النار ولا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. Those who conceal Allah's revelations in the book and purchase for them a miserable profit, they swallow into themselves naught but fire. Allah will not address them the day of judgment, and He will not talk to them, and they will face a severe punishment. Now, some scholars these days have committed very serious crimes, and they need to repent, and they need to do it now. This question is Sheikh Bin Baz. How could you, with all the knowledge of Allah gave you, how could you, knowing quite well al-wala wal-bara, how could you, knowing quite well what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about no two religion should exist on the Holy Land, how could you, with all this, you pass a fatwa allowing 500,000 U.S. troops to enter the Arabian Peninsula? How can you justify that? How can you justify that? How are you going to answer Allah when He asks you about this? Aren't you the same person? Aren't you the same person who gave a fatwa to a Muslim man when he asked you about whether or not it is right to get a servant, a non-Muslim servant, because you couldn't get a Muslim one, and you were very adamant about telling him you cannot use a non-Muslim for anything, and it is sin, and Allah will not approve of that? How could you advise a Muslim man not to get a non-Muslim servant in the same time you advise your master, yes, your master, King Fahd, to accept 500,000 kafir with all the filth, with all the paganism, with all the destruction that come with them to the entire Muslim ummah? Do we have an answer from you? Obviously, no at this time. To the other scholar, Sheikh Tantawi, may Allah curse you forever because you are a kafir. You are the one who knows exactly that President Mubarak, your master, President Mubarak, rules by the Democratic Party, does not rule by Sharia. You know that he tortured Muslims. You know he killed them. And you get up on TV and make halal haram. And you know what the Minister of Information is doing in corrupting the Muslim minds of our children in Egypt. And you know the programs on TV, and you say nothing. Not only that, but you advocate bridging the gap between Muslims and Christians. And you know quite well that there is no such a thing as bridging the gap, because Muslims are guided by Allah and the Christians are totally misguided, and they are pagans, they are kafir, they need to come to Islam. Islam doesn't have to bridge any gap between them and between Muslims
and Christians, those scholars need to think hard about the questions Allah will ask them about the knowledge they conceal and the knowledge they had and did not deliver it to the people and concealed it from the people. I say to all these scholars, scholars of Islam, I say to all of you, how come no one is talking about jihad? How come no one is talking about al-wala wal-bara? How come none of you is making takfir on your leaders, your masters? You know they're not abiding by Sharia. You know that they're not implementing Sharia. What excuse do you have for concealing the knowledge from them or from the rest of the Muslims? What excuse do you have for not standing up and rallying Muslims around you to take down any government that is not implementing the Sharia of Allah? What excuse do you have for going on the member and talking about every little thing and a big thing except jihad against the enemies of Allah? And the enemies of Allah start right in your back door. The enemies of Allah are not far from you. The enemies of Allah are your masters. Are you worried about your salary? Are you worried about your position? Are you worried about your family? None of that will help you on Judgment Day. When you go to the grave, you will be all alone with your deeds only. Nobody will be able to save you. You must know that you are doing your fellow Muslims a big disservice. You must know that you are misleading millions of Muslims, and you will carry the burden at the Day of Judgment. Now, you know by abandoning the Sharia, and you know by going against jihad or not saying anything about jihad, you're actually rejecting what Allah commanded us to do in the Holy Quran, and you're actually rejecting what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Let me remind you, all of you, with what Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verse 115. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. It is you, scholar, that on your own have elected not to talk about jihad, have elected not to talk about wala wal-bara, have elected not to make takfir on a kafir leader or kafir leaders. You have elected to deviate and disobey the Prophet. Allah says again in Surah 4, verse 115, if anyone contends with the Messenger, even after guidance has been plainly conveyed to him, and follows a path other than that, becoming to men of faith, we shall lead him in the path he has chosen and land him in hellfire. What an evil refuge that is. That's what Allah tells you, you scholars, because you know the truth and you conceal the truth, and you know what you're supposed to do, and you fail to perform your duties. Now, to you and to your leaders, to all of you and your leaders, when I say all of you, I mean those of you
who elect to conceal the knowledge. Those of you who elect not to talk about jihad, who elect not to demand the implementation of Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 146. This is directed to the leaders and the scholars. سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الرُّشْدِ لَا يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الْغَيِّ يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَكَانُوا عَنْهَا غَافِلِينَ. Those who behave arrogantly on earth, obviously leaders and you guys are all behaving arrogantly. You torture Muslims. You think nobody knows anything and you know everything. Those who behave arrogantly on the earth in defiance of the right, then will I turn away from my sign? They will not believe in them, and if they see the way of right conduct, they will not adopt it. If they see the way of the right conduct, they will not adopt it. The way, but if they see the way of error, that is the way they will adopt. For they have neglected our signs and failed to take warning from them. That's you. One more time. Those who behave arrogantly on earth in defiance of right, then will I turn away from my sign? They will not believe in them. And if they see the way of right conduct, they will not adopt it. The way, but if they see the way of error, that is the way they will adopt, for they have neglected our signs and failed to take warning from them. I say to you again, you ought to repent and ought to do it now. Now I say again to you scholars and to the average person as well, because some of you may say, well, I can't help it. The leader will not stand for any talk about jihad. The leader will not stand for any talk about al-wala wal-bara. The leader will not stand for any talk about implementing Sharia. And I only work for him, or I only work for somebody. I can't do much, or I can't do anything. I say to you, read Surah Baqarah, Ayah 166, Surah 2, 166. إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُوا الْعَذَابَ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابُ. Then would those who are followed clear themselves of those who follow them. One more time. Those who are followed will clear themselves from those who followed them. They will see the chastisement and all relations between them would be cut off. In other words, in the day of judgment, you, the scholar, or any average person cannot use this as an excuse, meaning cannot say, well, my boss wanted me to do this, or the president of the country wanted me not to talk about this. This will not be accepted. Next ayah, 167, same surah, Al-Baqarah 2, 167. وقال الذين اتبعوا لو أن لنا كرة فنتبرأ منهم كما تبرأوا منا كذلك يريهم الله أعمالهم حسرات عليهم وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. Listen carefully, because this actually gives you your actual fate.
Hellfire.
Here we go. And those who followed, meaning you, those who followed would say, if only we had one more chance, we would clear ourselves of them as they have cleared themselves of us. Then will Allah show them the fruit of their deeds as nothing but regrets, nor will they be saved, and they will abide in hellfire. So again, if you just even ask for another chance to clear yourself from your master or your leader, you would be told by Allah that nothing is going to work for you today. You will not come out of hell fire. Now, let's go to Surah An-Nisa. Surah 4, verse 76. Any leader has people working for him and has army working for him, executing his orders. If that leader is an apostate, if that leader is a kafir, occasionally you may hear from the soldiers or from people working for him saying again, we can't help it, we follow orders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الذين آمنوا يقاتلون في سبيل الله والذين كفروا يقاتلون في سبيل الطاغوت فقاتلوا أولياء الشيطان إن كيد الشيطان كان ضعيفا. سورة النساء 4 verse 76. الذين آمنوا يقاتلون في سبيل الله. Those who believe, the believers, will fight and would wage jihad for Allah, in the name of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those kafir will fight alongside of the taghut. Now if you look at the leader, it is not going to be hard for you, scholars or the average person, to determine that the leader is kafir. As we said before, all of them except one system, and that's the Afghani system, all other leaders are kafir, have apostated from Islam, because they're not implementing Sharia and they are killing and oppressing Muslims. So if the leader is kafir, then he's a taghut. Then all his army or anybody in his army fighting with him, alongside with him, anybody works for him, anybody advancing the orders of this leader is considered kafir according to this ayah. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ. Those kafirs will fight alongside the taghut. And then Allah orders the Muslim, the true believer, فَقَاتِلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ. He describes you as the friends and the allies of the shaitan. You are being labeled here in this ayah, Surah An-Nisa, you scholars and the average person, if you stand still, if you don't rise up, if you don't say anything about what's right and what's wrong, you are a friend, an ally of the shaitan, and you should be fought and you should be killed, and it is coming to you unless you repent and you do it now. I say to you again, leaders and scholars, especially leaders, because you may think, because you have the army working for you, you have the security forces working for you, doing whatever you want, killing, torturing people left and right, putting people in prison for no reason other than speaking the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses you and talk to you or talk about you in Surah Ibrahim 14 verse 42 and 43.
ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار مهطعين مقنعي رؤوسهم لا يرتد إليهم طرفهم وأفئدتهم هواء. Allah is not unaware of those who do wrong. He only gives them respite till judgment day. On that day, their eyes will fixedly stare in horror. They, running forward with necks outstretched, they will keep running forward, their neck will be upright, outstretched, their head uplifted, their gaze returning not toward them, and their hearts are gaping void. That's the state or the status of those who are doing wrong, and Allah is saying that He is totally aware of what you're doing, and what will happen to you on Judgment Day is clearly described in Ayah 42 and 43 of Surah Ibrahim, Surah 14, 42 and 43. I say this also to the widows and to the orphans and to the wives and to the parents who have lost their beloved one, to the torture and arrogance of an oppressive leader. Remember this ayah. Allah tells you that He is totally aware of what they're doing. Punishment is coming to them. Punishment is not going to be waived for them.